Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah is daf at Tetzayin. We're holding six lines down in the sugya of Bevloi Kelim. Gufa. Amar Rabbi Bar Tevyuma. Sichcha Bevloi Kelim Psulas. Yesterday we learned, when we were trying to figure out what the din was about the bed frame and how you could have a bed frame that would be puzzle if it's broken up. So we figured out, we thought that it was because of Rav Ami Bar Tevyuma's halacha that even something that is currently not in a position to be mekabel tumah but once was is forever prohibited midrabbanan. And we were docha that by saying, once again, understanding the Mishnah in Kelim, that actually a bed frame can be tameh mi'ikar ha-din because of the usability of putting it up against the wall. So now we want to look into Rav Ami Bar Tevyuma's halacha, which is that there is a gezera of v'loi kelim. So gufa am Rav Ami Bar Tevyuma b'loi kal gezerchecha, but v'loi kelim is psula. My v'loi kelim, what is that? Amar Abaye, well, you figure you had pieces of beged, and beged, remember the minimal level of beged, to be mekabel tumah, is 3 by 3 etzba'ot. So if it's less than 3 by 3 etzba'ot, and it's made out of something like cotton or linen, something that grows from the ground, so then it's not shayach to kabbalas tumah. And what's wrong with it? The only thing that's wrong with it is this gezerah, that you may come to actually use it in a fashion where it would be mekabel tumah. So Amar Abaye, this refers to matlaniyot she'in behem shalosh al shalosh, v'lo chazir lo laniyim v'lo lashirim. This is considered to be too small to even use as a patch, even by people who can't afford very much, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Tanya kavasi the Rabbi Bar Tevyuma, and we seem to have a raya to this, because it says in the Braita, machtzelet shel shifa v'shel gemi. So let's say you have a mat that you made out of gemi is the regular, sea rush. Shifa is a kind of grass. So the shear usually is 6 by 6 tfachim, because this is a mat that is kabel tumah, even though you'd say, well, wait a minute, its maximum is pshute kliyetz, doesn't have a base kibbol. But remember that there's a din of midras. And the din of midras has nothing to do with klei kibbol. A machatzelet, which is suitable for lying on, then it's kabel tumah because of that specific tumah. The midras has zav for all of those who are metamei mishkev u'moshav. And but the shear of it has to be a lot bigger than is normal for beged. The shear for a beged is tiny; it's 3 etzba'ot by 3 etzba'ot. And here you need the shear of 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim. Okay, so then it becomes shayach to the din of tumas midras. But what about if you have shirayim of it? So now it started off with the correct size, but now, even though it is smaller than the necessary size of 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, you cannot use it for schach. Why not? Apparently, why not? Gufa, because of the fact that what Rav Ami was saying, and that is Rav Ami Bar Tevyuma, that there must be a gezera that passes anything that was once suitable for Kabbalah Stur. Once we already brought the Braita, let's just finish the Braita. And the Braita says also, machzelet hakanim, if you have reeds. So over there, a large one, you could be misachachin ba, presumably again, because since it's so big, why would somebody make such a big thing that was the size of covering over a sukkah? It was probably made l'chatchila for sichuch. So what's the problem? It's not going to be mekabel tumas midras because it wasn't made for sitting on or sleeping on. Why would you make something large enough for a sukkah if it wasn't initially made for schach? So therefore, we can assume that it was made for schach. But if it's small, then we have to make the opposite assumption, that it was made for some kind of mat for somebody to put down on a chair on the ground in order to sit on the beach or whatever. Then it's considered to be related to bas midras. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, afhi mikabela tuma ve'in misachachin ba, even a big one has to be taken as a midras, unless it was made specifically, as we'll see, for schach. So it's possible to make one that's kosher for schach, but not a stam machatzelet that you would walk into a store like Pier 21, I think that's what it used to be called, and pick it up. Okay, now in the Mishnah it says that if you make a haystack into a sukkah, and your chotet begadish, then it's possible. Omer Rav Huna. Now, let me just point out, says Rav Huna, that it is possible to have even a gadish, which would be kosher for a sukkah, without needing to blow your haystack. And what would that be? Suppose lechatchila there was a space that had been left purposefully to hide things underneath the haystack, let's say, right? So what you did was, is you made a little area. Now, obviously, it wasn't very high. So you made like at least a tefach. And in that tefach, there was a makom that was being covered by the schach. And it was being covered in a way that would be letzel. So if you had the start of a sukkah, and what's very important here is to recognize like this. This is din tasev lamin arsi, that's what we're talking about. But tasev lamin arsi only applies to the schach. Tasev lamin arsi does not apply to the defanot, because there's no din of asiya on the defanot. There's only a din of asiya on the schach. So let's say we would have schach that was made correctly. How could it be made correctly if you don't have defanot? Because what defines made correctly for schach is that there should be an area underneath that satisfies the requirement of a place that the schach can be an ohel over it for tzel. What's that size? Not the size of a sukkah, the size of a tefach. The size of a tefach we found is called an ohel. So if you put schach for tzel over an ohel, and you want to use that area inside, let's say, to keep food cool, so you want to keep the sun out, right? So, okay, so you make a little area on the top of the haystack in which you can put some milk in there in bottles and keep it a little bit cooler. So that would be not a kosher sukkah, but it would be kosher schach. So then if you went into the haystack and now you make the walls by digging out the haystack, and now what was originally a 7x7 place that was covered with schach was only a tefach high, now it becomes a 7x7 place covered by exactly the same schach, but now it's 10 fucking high, now it's kosher. Because there's no problem of tasev alom and also. The schach indeed had been initially made, l'shem sichuch, to keep your milk chilled. Therefore, it says, Rav Huna, if you start with the shear of tzel, which is a halal tefach over an area of 7x7, so then yesham halal tefach b'meshach shiva, then it's a kosher sukkah when you extend downwards and you go ahead and you make the rest of the wall. Because you started off with kosher schach. So even though you need to make the walls now, what's wrong with making walls out of a haystack? There's no problem. Tanya nami hachi, hakotet begadish la'asot lo sukkah. Here's a raya. Here's a braita that just says flat out that if you dig into a haystack to make a sukkah, then it's perfectly kosher. What? How could it be perfectly kosher? Didn't we just read the Mishnah? And the Mishnah says, ain't a sukkah. So clearly the Braita is assuming that there is a case where it is kosher, and that is exactly the point that Rav Huna is making. The problem isn't the height. The problem is the schach. So shma mina, that there's a tremendous difference. Actually, this, what we're bringing out as a raya, is a pretty advanced way of looking at it. They're taking everything for granted. I mean, there are some that start in the opposite direction. So some have the sugya by pointing out, we seem to have a steer in the braita to the Mishnah. Ike the rami le mirma. So some point out a steer, achotet begadish la soto sukkah in a sukkah, in the Mishnah, tnan, that it would not be a sukkah, v'atanya hareis a sukkah, omer Rav Huna. And on this is where we learned that Rav Huna said, lukasha, kan b'shiyesham chalot tefach b'meshach shiva. And this was basically, in this version, this is where the whole din was introduced, by recognizing that there must be such a case, rather than using the case to prove a contention that had been a theory that was proposed. Actually, in this version, this is the marker of the theory. The only way to explain these two, the Mishnah and the Braita, is to say, kan b'shiyesh ba, Chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, v'kan b'she'in sham, Chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. We are now ready for a glimpse of our Capitan. Go ahead, Sir Richard. Am shalshel defanot milamala lamata. Now we're getting into other questions. Now we're talking not about the schach. Until now we've been talking about the schach, the issues that are kosher for schach, what's considered to be letzel, the gezeras. We had gezeras tikra, and we even proposed an overall gezeras kalim, and we have a gezeras otzar. All of the complicated issues that define for us the mekeres and the posik for the aid, why and how it is that we know psolizgar and v'yekev. Now we move on to understanding what is the requirement for the construction of the mechitza of the sukkah, because remember that the mechitza requires midiraisa, two walls, plus we have that third wall, which we had the machlokas, how exactly we should make it, because we had a halacha l'mesh mi-Sinai, that the third one could be afilu tefach. So let's talk about what constitutes a kosher mechitza. So somebody is actually, he started his sukkah from the top. You know, he puts up his schach and so on. And now he continues making that schach. Imagine the case. It's a pretty simple case. The guy actually started off making a bamboo machatzelet, which is very popular. You could buy those things, right? Oftentimes, the machatzelet is long enough that it hangs over the edge. I actually did this last year, using the machatzelet as the wall. Because if it's big enough, you know, I used to have this gigantic sukkah back in the old city, now this tiny little nothing. So it went down all the way down, and I could use it as my wall. So I fine. So now the guy is lowering what was his machatzelet. He's now lowering it from the top down. Okay. So now he leaves it. It doesn't reach all the way to the ground. It only gets up to 3 tvachim above the ground. Now he's in problems. Why is he in problems? He's got most of his mechitza. His problem is that a mechitza that is penetrable by, remember we called it before, a gdi bebat rosh, a kid, not referring to human kid, a kid could get under it without any trouble and just run in and out. So we're talking more on a Heidi level of, the kid likes to play with kids, and the kids, they come running in and out of the sukkah, so it's not really considered to be a mechitza, because it's open to a small animal. And therefore, it's as if it's open to the outside. If it's within 3 tvachim, then it's considered to be lavud, and it's all one mechitza. So if it's within 3 tvachim, then it would have been okay. But over here, it's right at the top of 3 tvachim. How about, however, from the bottom up? So now you're starting to make a wall. You put on one piece of bamboo, another piece of bamboo. Once it reaches 10 tvachim high, then it doesn't matter how much of a space there is between the top of the mechitza and the schach. Perfectly okay. Because once you have a mechitza of asara, that is considered to be a mechitza, which is the very reason why it would be kosher if it comes into an area that is within 3 of the ground. As a matter of fact, if you think of it, you don't really need gavoa asarat fachim. You need 7 plus, and then it would be within 3 tvachim of the ground, and then it would be the equivalent of a full mechitza of asara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, what are you talking about? Is a mechitza at 10 tvachim? So if you're willing to allow a mechitza that is 10 tvachim high at the bottom of the sukkah, what's your problem of allowing a mechitza that's 10 tvachim high at the top of the sukkah? I mean, we have two very similar halachas. They're both called good. Good means to pull something in a direction. So we have good achit and we have good asik. So you can take a wall and pull it up, but you could also take a wall and pull it down. So what's the difference? If it's once it's a 10 tvachim high wall, then everything should be fine. So if I'm ready to say good asik, which means pull it up, which is what you just said, why wouldn't you be ready to say good achit, which means pull it down, which is what I'm saying? Why would it have to be within 3 tvachim of the ground? It doesn't have to be within any tvachim of the ground. So apparently, we don't apply, according to the Tanakhama, the din of good achit, which is of good achit, we wouldn't apply. Why is that? What would it mean? Why did we say all along that we do? why did we have the case of, let's say, remember we had back the case of a Aksadra in the middle of nowhere. And we said over there that you can utilize, and Rashi said this was the idea of Gur Achit, that you can utilize the concept of Pitikra Yored Vesote, that we look at the top of the roof, the edge of the roof, and we pull it down, and there we don't even need any level of Mechitza. So, I mean, Kochkin, if you're talking about an actual Mechitza, why isn't it included in good? We know that good works in both directions. It wasn't given only as good Asik or as good Achit. So there is a very, very beautiful analysis, which I think is kedai to spend a moment talking about, from the Pnei Yoshua. And the Pnei Yoshua brings that when Rashi said earlier, and I'm sure you noticed this before in a couple of places, when the Gemara talks, we were talking about what do we need, the halakha l'meishe Sinai, and we said, isn't it all learnt out of the Mishkan? So the Gemara answered there that we needed it for the dinim of the mechitzas. The dinim of the mechitzas included lavud and good, and Rashi brings both good achit and good asik, but he explains good achit by talking about pitikra yored v'sotem, which is very confusing. Isn't that a separate issue of pitikra yored v'sotem? So therefore, the Pnei Yoshua analyzes the issue like this. This halacha, that a mechitza cannot be penetrable by a small animal, and if it is, you simply cannot view it as a mechitza, is a reality, whether it's a virtual mechitza or it's a real mechitza. It won't help to say good achit, because your virtual mechitza is being broached by kids, and therefore it's not a good mechitza. But the din of pitikra yored v'sotem is never spoken about in terms of being a mechitza. It's yored v'sotem, which means there never was a mechitza. It's just that the edge of the roof defines the entire area as being sealed off, which means we're not talking about a mechitza that is being broached. Obviously, a mechitza by definition is not broached. That's what the word mechitza means. But sotem has nothing to do with that question. Sotem means you have a right to consider this to be a purely enclosed space. That's all. What do I say is enclosing it? I'm not telling you there's a mechitza enclosing it. I'm telling you that the fact that the roof ends in that fashion basically encloses the space beneath it. So what's the difference if you're going to say Gedi is able to come in? So that doesn't change the fact that the space underneath the roofing is enclosed. Beautiful. And therefore, he says, that's why Rashi says that indeed the lashon of good achit is only referring to the halacha of pitikra yored v'sotem, because if not, ask yourself, how can we say there's a halacha l'meishe Sinai of good achit? Where does it apply? If it's within three tvachim, I don't need that halacha because I already have good. I already have lavud. Right? And that was another one of the halachas. Why do I need a separate din of good? And if it's l'mala mishlasha tvachim, then it's possible because the gedi is asur b'basra. So what is it referring to? Therefore, Rashi says it's only referring to the pitikra yored v'sotem. And even though you'll recall from Erevin that we had a halacha of the din of mechitza tluya materet b'mayim, and that idea of b'mayim, maybe you'll say that's what the idea is, because since under the water, all you have is fishies, and that's not considered to be little kids. That, remember, we had that old cute sugya, right? So that's not considered to be the asya, the gedi bebatrosh. So therefore, wait a second, Ovir Gavi, I think you have a sunroof there, do you? Can you put schach on your sunroof? Ah, there we go. So what would be the halacha? The edge is schach puzzle. Okay. So anyway, the idea, therefore, is that we have two separate halachas. You can't view that as being the din of good achit. Why not? There's no broaching from kids. The reason why not is because it doesn't explain the halacha l'meishe Sinai. Because you'll never need a mechitza d'oraisa in any d'oraisa case under the water. It's not a mechitza for sukkah. And under the water, it's never going to be Rishus HaRabim. That's been Yoraisa, Rishus HaYokid, Yoraisa, Legabi, carrying from one area to the other, that you're a skin diver, you know, and you've got fishies coming in and out. I don't need a halakha of L'moshe Mitzinai to tell me that then, because it's only a Durabonon anyway. So therefore, it must be that it's referring to Pitikra Yorid Vesota. Beautiful analysis. Okay. Anyway, moving on now to understand the machlokas between the Rabbonan and Rav Yossi. So, b'maika miflege. So, obviously, marsov v'mechitza tluya materas. So, it must be that Rav Yossi holds that there is no such problem of of a gedi bibat rosh. And therefore, it's a kosher wall. Mashenke the Tanakama holds there's no such din as mechitza tluya materet because of the problem of the fact that it's broached all the time. Now, Tanan Hatam, remember we had the Mishnah in Erevin? And we had that case in Erevin where you've got two adjacent chatzerot. There is no door between them, so they can't make a Erev together as one, to make them into one big chatzer. Underneath the wall between the two chatzerot, there is a well. And the well opens up on either side, and you can draw water from the right-hand side chatzer and from the left-hand side chatzer. So what we said over there was, neither side is allowed to use that water on Shabbos. Why? Because when you take that water, you're going to naturally be drawing water also from the other side. But you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer's water to the other chatzer without an Erev, and you can't make an Erev between you. So therefore, what could you possibly do? So it says over there in the Mishnah, that in the event that you have a bor shebein shtei chatzerot that we've just described, ein memalim mimena b'shabbat elim kena asala mechitza asarat fachim, bein milamala, bein milamata, bein betoch ogno. Now this girsa is very, very confusing, and it's really not correct according to most girsos. It should be elim kena asala mechitza asarat fachim, bein milamata, bein betoch ogno, meaning that even though you've got a wall on top of the well, and it's running all along the side of the chatzer, indeed above the water as well, doesn't go into the water, but above the water, you can only be matir the water by building a wall inside of the well. Now, that doesn't mean that it necessarily has to be in the water, nor does it even mean that it has to be right at the top of the water. It could be right at the top of the well, at ground level for you, and it's hanging over the water, and maybe there's 10 feet between it and the water. Doesn't matter. As long as it is betoch ogno. Because once it's built betoch ogno, you're making a point of showing that the meaning of this mechitza is in order to split the water, not anything that has to do with the chotzer per se. And then it would be kosher. So you could put it wherever you want. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, not everybody agrees you could put it anywhere in there. Maybe you'd have to put it close to the water in there. So actually, now the Gemara and Erevin ended up changing this to Beit Hillel Omrim. It could even be Milamala. And Beit Shammai says it has to be Milamata, meaning it has to be at the water level, not at the top level. Fine, okay. That's just a question of where you put it. Now, there came along Rav Yehuda and said, that's crazy. Why should a mechitza hanging between the walls of the well be more powerful than the mechitza, which is literally the wall between the two chatzeros, which goes over the well? So, what do you need another mechitza inside? Lo te'e mechitza, basically a virtual mechitza, is going to be more powerful than a wall? How can it be gedola min hakotel shebeinihem? So apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that mechitza tuluya materet. Omer Rabba Bar Bachana Om Rabbi Yochanan. Yep, you see that this shita of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in Erevin is basically the shita of Rabbi Yossi here in Sukkah. Just like Rabbi Yossi here in Sukkah says that a mechitza tuluya is kosher for a Sukkah, so too did Rabbi Yehuda say in Erevin that a mechitza tuluya is kosher to be matir the water on Shabbos, and it's mechalik between the water of the two chatzeros. Same exact halacha. Which the Gemara says, was not justifiable to reach as a conclusion. Veloi. Rabbi Yochanan is not necessarily true. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold necessarily, it doesn't mean he can't hold, but he's not necessarily old like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi does not necessarily hold of Rabbi Yehuda. Because I could say, look, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about a din in Erevin, and Rabbi Yossi is talking about a din in Shabbos. Now, a din in Erevin is by definition Durabana. But a din of Sukkah, which was Rabbi Yossi, that is a Dioraisa. So therefore, maybe there's a big difference. Because Atkan Lokom Rabbi Yehuda Asam Elabe Ruvichat Seiroz Durabana. To say that a machitza tluya is sufficient, even if it's just hanging above the bar, and it doesn't have to be made specifically for the machitza tluya b'mayim, maybe he would only say such a thing when it came to a derabbanan, because there's obviously no iser d'oraisa in taking water out of a bar between two chatzeras. It's all one big rishos. Except that the derabbanan said that different ownership requires an eruv. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda said, look, it's this big extension, Drabona. It's good enough. Mashenkin, over here, you're telling me you want to use it to sit in a sukkah d'oraisa? Halcha sukkah d'oraisa? No way. Lo, we would never allow it for a sukkah d'oraisa. Or I could look at it in the other direction. I could say, you know what? Rabbi Yossi, who talks about sukkah, would not necessarily allow a b'chitza tluya to work for Shabbos, like Rabbi Yehuda does, because I could say, Atkan loka amar Rabbi Yossi halchala b'sukkah. A sukkah, okay, I understand. What am I going to be doing wrong if my sukkah is not kosher? I'm going to be mevatel a mitzvah aseh. But you're talking about a Shabbos, which is an iser skila. Obviously, this particular thing is only a drabbanan. But you're dealing with a sugya of Shabbos, which is a chiyav, not only not just of an aseh, it's not even just the los aseh. It's one of the most chomer and yonim in kol ha-Torah kula. You'd be chayev skila to be over on Shabbos. So over there, I'm going to be mekel. Over there, I won't be mekel even on the Rabbanan. Now, says the Gemara, but wait a minute. If you're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yossi does not accept a mechitza tluya legabe Shabbos, so then wasn't Rabbi Yossi the Rosh Hashiva in Tzipori? We can ask Barnea, who has lived in Tzipori for the past thousands of years, Barnea, was Rabbi Yossi Rosh Hashiva?
It was the Lord that asked her there's something so cool. They found a mansion, this incredible floor of 1.5 million stones. And right next to it, that was the dining room. And right next to it is a room that says hygiene. It was the bathroom. And Rabbi Yossi is this sheet that it says Ezu Asher. It has a basic piece of Samach L'Shulchan. So that mansion is a ugly mansion. So cute.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, anyway, so now if Rabbi Yossi was the Rosh Hashiva in Tzipori, so then he must have paskened that famous case. A famous case was like this. There was a situation in Tzipori. The norm was, in those days, they would not leave the Sefer Torah in the shul. Because leaving it in the shul was leaving it unguarded. So the Sefer Torah was brought into a chatzar, where people lived, and on Shabbos morning, they would take the Sefer Torah, cut across the Mavoi, to the other side of the Mavoi, where the shul was. Now, normally, they would have made not only an eruv of the chatzeras, but they would have done a sheet of mevaot. So the sheet of mevaot would have allowed them to carry the Sefer Torah from a chatzar across the Mavoi, from the Beit HaKnesset, into the Beit HaKnesset. They forgot to bring it before Shabbos, and they forgot to make a sheet of mevaot. So what could they do? How are they going to get the Sefer Torah into the shul? Somebody paskin, and it had to have been Adas Rabbi Yossi, somebody paskin that you could have, it turns out in the end, that somebody paskin that there were sheets on the clothesline that had not been taken down before Shabbos, and those sheets were hanging down between the side of the Mavoi and the other side that was between the two doors facing each other, the Beit HaKnesset, and the Chatzar where they kept the Sefer Torah. And they used the laundry that was hanging, the sheets, as a mechitza, and they carried the Sefer Torah because they said, we don't need, there's no problem. Because if all you have is a chatzar on one side of an alleyway and a Beit HaKnesset on the other side, there's no chiyuv of shituf mevo'ot, because you need to have a minimal two houses in the two chatzeres, which you don't have. So therefore, that was enough, so they were able to carry it. So who paskened that? Must have been Rabbi Yossi. But that the hanging sheets, that's a mechitza tuluya. So you see that Rabbi Yossi does all the mechitza tuluya, even for Shabbos, and that Rabbi Yochanan was right, and that Rabbi Yossi does actually accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So let's see that inside. The Im Tomars, if you're going to tell me, how could I tell you that Rabbi Yossi does not allow a mechitza tuluya on Shabbos? So then who in the world was the one that paskened in the Maaser Shenasa B'Tzipori, the famous maaser that happened? Who was the one that paskened that halacha? The Av Bezdin and Rosh Yeshiva in Tzipori was Rabbi Yossi. So, what's the pshat? It was after Rabbi Yossi had died. Lo api Rabbi Yossi. It was api Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yossi. And he, indeed, takes Rabbi Yossi Shita by Sukkah, and he said that Lefi Daitai, we can expand it to say even that it's kosher for a mechitza on Shabbos for a drabbanan, obviously. What was the big maise that was there? Well, the chiyata of Dimi Omar pa'amachat shakhu v'lo eviyu sefer Torah me'erev Shabbat. So they once forgot, and they didn't have a way to get the sefer Torah. So on Shabbat, l'mocher persus dinim agabei amudim, so they spread out these sheets, and they brought a sefer Torah. What do you mean they spread out the sheets? That's ridiculous. How could they carry the sheets out? You can't use the sheets to be matir carrying the sheets out, can you? So Pirsu, Sakadaitach, Mehechan Eviyum B'Shabbat, how do they get sheets to a place it's also to carry on Shabbos? Ella, obviously it must be. Matzus, Dinim Prusim, they found that someone had left the sheets out to dry before Shabbos, and they decided, let's use that as our mechitza. Veviyu Sefer Torah V'kor Uba. Omer Evchista, Omer Avimi. If you want to take a look at the minimal sizes that you can get away with of material for your sukkah, so imagine that you've got yourself a mat, and the mat is only 4 tefachim and so a little bit more wide. And it's as long as your sukkah. Well, I don't know how big your sukkah is, but whatever. You want to use that mat, which is like a thin mat, right? And you want to use that. That is a kosher sukkah, as long as you put it up correctly. Because all you need to do, hechi avid, what would you need to do? If for a machatzelet arba'o mashu to be matted the whole sukkah as one of the four walls, one of the two walls, hechi avin, toli lebe emtza, you put it right between the schach, we're talking about a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim high, so you put it right between the schach and the ground, right? So now it's within 3 tefachim of the schach, within 3 tefachim of the ground, and it itself is 4+ tefachim, so now you've got 4+6. 4+6=10. That's the whole mechitza. Great. 2 lavuds plus the 4 in the middle. So then it would be pochot b'shlosh l'mavako, pochot b'shlosh is considered to be closed, and it's as if it's 10 tefachim high. Any idiot knows that. I don't understand. We've been talking about lavud with all mesechet. Pshita, well, I need Rav Chista to teach me again that didn't love it. No. Did you ever see anywhere that you could have lavud on either end? No. So, maybe there's only one time you can use lavud in a wall. Trey lavud, lo amrina, but you wouldn't say lavud both on the top and on the bottom. Kamash malan, therefore Rav Chista comes along gufa to tell us this then, that lavud is okay to use twice in the same mechitza, 4+ in the middle, close the lavud to the top, close the lavud to the bottom, gives you 10. Brilliant. Yes, the Gemara, but it doesn't seem to be true. Rav Chista is claiming it, but the Braita is saying it's not true. Look at this Braita. Meitvek. Machatzelet shiva umashu. Materet pasukah mishum dofen. Here it says you can only use a mat that is 7+ high, obviously, because you only can use 1 lavud. So you could use the 7+, and then the 3-minus = 10. But you can't use it the way Rav Chista said, that you can use only 4+. Well, Says the Gemara, yeah, that's talking about a normal sukkah, a sukkah that's higher than 10 tefachim, a sukkah gedola. Well, then there's no way to have the lovet close to the top and to the bottom simultaneously. So over there, he's pointing out, there you would need, indeed, that it should be the 7 tefachim, and then it could come down either direction. Either direction? Yeah. 7 tefachim either from the top or from the bottom. But if it's 7 tefachim from the bottom, you said it's not kosher. I don't understand. How, if it's 7 tefachim and 3 from the top, how far is it down to the bottom? Another 20 feet? I mean, you said we're talking about a sukkah gedola, but what about the problem of it's being approachable mechitza? That's the point. So, Micah Mashmalan, the whole point is that Mishalshalim Defano Bilamala Lamata Rabbi Yossi. What we're saying over here is that when Rabbi Yossi says that the mechitza tuluya is kosher for a sukkah, the mechitza tuluya could also be tuluya from the middle. As long as it's within 3 tefachim on the top and it's just 7 tefachim high itself. You started with a kosher mechitza of Eser, even though 3 tefachim of it, a little bit less, are virtual, doesn't matter. And Rabbi Yossi says there too, I don't care how far above the ground it is, it's a perfectly kosher hanging mechitza. Now, in terms of the width of the sukkah, you can also get away with 4 tefachim plus a little bit. Now, you'll say, what do you mean, get away with 4 tefachim? I mean, you could get away with even 1 tefach on a dofen shlishis. Fine, okay. But that would be that it requires the Tzuras HaPesach, like we said, the different shittas of Rava. Here we're talking about an actual wall of the sukkah that you make with a pas arba'a umashahu. So you just take one board. We call it a board when it's being put vertical. We call it what we said before, that we use the word in order to differentiate with it. We talked about it as a makatzelet. Obviously, it's the same thing, except the makatzelet is running horizontally, not vertically, and the pas could be a makatzelet too. But the important thing is that it's running vertically. So if you have a vertical board that's 4 tefachim and a little bit, that would also be mater the sukkah as a wall of the sukkah. Because what would you do? You would be mukile b'pachot b'shloshet tefachim somach l'dofen. As long as you put it within 3 tefachim of a standing wall. So then it is basically another wall, because now it's the minimum of shiva, and that's the minimum size sukkah. So ko pachot b'shloshet somach l'dofen is kelovud. I don't understand. Well, obviously, Micah Mashmon, again, I mean, I don't understand. Again, we're talking about lovehood. How many times we got to talk about lovehood? No, he's trying to tell me that that would be all that you need because of the fact that the size of a sukkah only requires shiva. And that is that shiva meshech sukkah ketana shiva aliba. That was the shita that we said about Beit Shammai. So therefore, if we do this, then this would be an amazing way to get an additional wall. Okay, I mean, even though we have the halacha of Shmini Sinai with 1 tefach on a pas, if we're talking about an actual pas, but that would be with the whole problems of Tzuras HaPesach and so on. So that's gufa would be the chiddush, shir meshach sukkah ishiva.